Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from the team of Deutsche EuroShop in Hamburg. I'm here on this call with our CFO, Olaf Borkers, and our investor relations team. Today, we present you our results for the first 9 months of 2020, and will inform you about the situation in our centers. First of all, I would like to report to you the, given the extraordinary circumstances, very respectable rebound of Deutsche EuroShop's operational numbers since the start of the pandemic up to the third quarter and well into the autumn. After that, I will inform you about the latest developments in our portfolio countries after the resurgence of the pandemic. Unfortunately, as you will surely be aware of, our centers are again subject to new soft or hard temporary lockdowns. But let's start with the operating numbers on page 4 of the presentation, right after the summary of the business developments. You can see that since the reopening of the centers, the customer footfall has stabilized at around 80% of 2019 levels until October 2020. The footfall numbers vary among the centers between 70 and 95%. As outlined before, we believe that besides the tightened general economic situation and its impact on consumption, the mandatory wearing of masks was one major influence factor that impeded faster recovery. On page 5, you can see that the turnovers of our tenants improved on average to a level of nearly 90% until September. That shows that the conversion rate was higher compared to normal times, as customers were more determined to spend money in the centers once they had entered them. So, as expected, with the stabilization of the corona pandemic in Q3, life and business came back to the centers, even though the impact of the pandemic was substantial and tenant turnovers in certain segments were still materially lower compared to normal times. Our cash collection ratio, presented on page 6, also showed a positive trend until October, now reaching 92% for Q3 and 96% for October. This number had only been 55% in Q2. The insolvency ratio of our tenants stands at 7.3% of our rents on a proportionate basis. This number did not increase since September, but there is, as mentioned before, of course, a risk that we will see more insolvencies, especially in the light of new soft and hard lockdowns in the various jurisdictions. However, it's worth to be mentioned that the first tenants have successfully finalized their restructuring processes already, like Galeria Karstadt Kaufhof, Zinn, or LPP Germany. Such tenants account for around one-third of the respective rent mentioned. On page 7, you find the current status of the new regulations concerning the shop closings in the various centers. So far, the rising numbers of infections have led again to a hard lockdown in the Czech Republic as of 22nd of October until further notice, and in Poland as of 7th of November until end of November. In both countries, like in the first lockdown, all shops are closed except in principle for supermarkets and shops selling goods for the daily needs. Gastronomy is limited to takeaway business. While there has been no information on specific state relief programs in Poland, the Czech government announced a support program for the tenants. Here, as we read it so far, closed tenants can apply for 50% cost contribution for their rents paid in Q3, which should give them liquidity to cover part of their fixed cost in the new lockdown. The exact terms are still unknown, however, it looks that this could be a real relief for our tenants and us in this situation in the Czech Republic. In Germany, Austria and Hungary, we experience so-called soft lockdowns. Here, mainly gastronomy, except for takeaway, cinemas and certain service retailers are closed. Stationary retail shops are allowed to continue to do business under restrictions like the wearing of mask obligations and the limitation of numbers of customers per square meter sales area. In Germany, in principle, tenants that are affected directly from the closures shall receive, roughly speaking, 75% of their 2019 November turnover as cost contribution to cover part of their fixed costs during the current month. While there are several requirements and limitations which are not clear yet, such help seems to be reasonable for the directly impacted shops and the gastronomy. However, there is no general relief program in place for the shops affected indirectly from the measurements. As of end of October, most shopping center destinations or general shopping destinations and also our centers experience already visibly lower footfall. Even though we have seen how quickly the situation can and is expected to improve again when the restrictions go away, such lockdowns are detrimental, especially in the vicinity of the start of the Christmas sales season. So far, the update on the current situation in our centers. Let me now come to the financial results of the first 9 months of 2020, which show the impact of the corona pandemic on our business. The revenues, and you find them on page 8, after the first 9 months, show only a small part of the economic impact of the pandemic, as most rents were invoiced according to the respective lease contracts. The only exception here comes, as before, from our Polish centers, where the specific legal situations led to a temporary suspension of rents for the period of the spring lockdown. Correspondingly, revenues decreased only slightly by 1.9% year-on-year to now 164.4 million. On page 9, we show you the development of our EBIT, and the major financial effect resulting from the pandemic is reflected in the high increase of our operational costs. This increase was mainly comes from the allowances for rent receivables due end of September. These allowances were made in relation to realized and or expected losses of rents in connection with tenant support measures, e.g. rent concessions, or in relation to actual or likely insolvencies. Such allowances amount to 25.8 million euro. Correspondingly, the EBIT decreased by 28.8 million euro to now 118.1 million. The allowances for rent receivables have been determined on the basis of the agreements with the tenants or for the cases still being negotiated on the basis of various criteria, such as the magnitude of the impact of the crisis on certain types of tenants and their capability to cope with this extraordinary situation. From the EBIT, now come to the financial results, and you can track them on page 10. The financial results slightly improved to 24 or minus 24.7 million. Several input factors neutralized each other here. Interest savings of 4.6 million and a lower minority result of 3.9 million improved the financial result. On the contrary, the at equity result was 5.2 million lower due to the corona-related declines in revenues and higher allowances for rent receivables in our joint venture companies. The remainder of the result and the change comes from the exceptional tax-related one-off item last year. This leads us to the EBT adjusted for valuation on page 11. And the EBT adjusted for valuation came down from 121 to 93.4 million, which is a minus of 23.2%. Again, the main input factors here were the corona-related lower operating result, the interest savings, and the tax one-off. On the next page, you find the IPRA earnings, which declined correspondingly by 29.7 million to now 90.8 million euro for the reasons that I just had explained before. On a per-share basis, the IPRA earnings decreased from 1.95 euro to 1.47 euro. Now I'd like to come to the consolidated result of the group on the next page, and such result decreased by 198.8 million to minus 105.5 million. The main impact here came from the valuation results that contributed minus 171.6 million, and the standing assets contributed a further minus 20.5 million. And again, you see the effect from last year's tax-related one-off item here, minus 9 million euro. Earnings per share decreased from 1 euro 51 to minus 1 euro 71. Our FFO has been outlined on page 14, and for the first 9 months of the year, the FFO, which of course excludes the valuation results and the one-off tax items, decreased from 111.7 to now 90.9 million, or on a per share basis from 1 euro 81 to 1 euro 47. This is again mainly due to the corona-related lower revenues and the allowances for rent receivables, and you will find the detailed calculation as usual on the right-hand side of the slide. It should be mentioned that the FFO is calculated as usually earnings-based and therefore doesn't reflect untypically higher receivables outstanding. So in considering the actual cash flow of the company, one should analyze also our consolidated cash flow statement and other cash-based indicators, such as our cash collection ratio. Coming now from the P&L to our continued very solid balance sheet on page 15. Here you see that our total assets amount to 4.41 billion. This is a decrease of 148.3 million compared with the reporting date end of 2019. And this is mainly due to the lower market values of our properties resulting from the valuation of our portfolio mid-year 2020. Because of the lower cash collection ratio in the first 9 months, our receivables after allowances increased by 12.2 million. Nevertheless, our consolidated liquidity has further improved to now 213 million as of end of September 2020. Due to the impact of the valuation result, total equity, including minorities, decreased by 119.2 million, and as of end of September 2020, non-current and current financial liabilities remained largely unchanged at 1.5 billion. This was 5.6 million lower at the end than at the end of 2019. Here, scheduled repayments were offset by an increase of a loan of 7.4 million to refinance some investments in our A10 center close to Berlin. Non-current deferred tax liabilities decreased visibly by 23.6 million to now 355.1 million, resulting from the reduced fair values of the investment properties. Our equity ratio remains at a strong 56.3%, and the consolidated LTV now stands at 31.5%. On a look-through basis, that is the LTV calculated fully proportionally according to the group share in all assets, the LTV now stands at 34.3%, also a very reasonable and low level. Now let's come to our financial debt on the next two pages, where we give you some further information covering that topic. And you can see that some 550 million of our consolidated bank debt mature in the next 5 years. Currently, our consolidated debt bears an average interest rate of 2.21%, and our weighted maturity of the loan portfolio now stands at 5.4 years. On the right-hand side of page 17, you will see that we just recently have fixed a loan of 70.3 million euro at a rate of 1.18% interest rate for 10 years for our Galleria, City Gallery in Wolfsburg. Now coming to the outlook, after this status report and the financial results. On the leasing side, we see that the market is understandably still in a rather weak condition like before, but we continue to sign lease agreements that come up for releasing. As an example, we were in the recent months able to secure two attractive and big supermarkets as anchor tenants, one for our A10 center, which is located close to Berlin, and the finally opened new Berlin airport. And on the other hand, we signed a lease agreement for the City Arcaden in Wuppertal, for another good and big attractive supermarket. And these are long-term contracts. For the City Arcaden in Wuppertal, we also recently signed a lease contract, for example, with Smith's Toys, another big and attractive new store for that center. Also, we could continue to work on the digital mall, which develops further. Besides the continued onboarding of tenants, the digital mall is now, for a test case, for the first time connected to Google's See What's in Store feature. The next important feature to work on is the delivery out of the center. There's still a lot of work ahead, and it's not easy in these corona times to progress. However, we are moving in the right direction. Some words about our financing activities. As we have elaborated before, we renewed our credit line of 150 million for 4 years beginning of this year, and we have signed, even after the start of the corona pandemic, two loan agreements. One for the refinancing of 70 million for Wuppertal, which becomes due end of this year, and a second one for the refinancing of another 70 million due mid next year for our center in Wolfsburg. For the other loans becoming due next year, we are in constructive talks and negotiations with the banks, and as of today, we are also confident here to agree with the banks on these refinancings. Coming to the financial outlook, given the again increased uncertainty about the duration and the magnitude of the impact of the corona pandemic and the current economic situation, as well as the development of the turnovers of our tenants and the outcome of the remaining tenant negotiations, a forecast for financial year 2020 is still not possible. Nevertheless, thanks to our solid balance sheet, low level of debt, and continued stable liquidity positions, we are well placed to cope with these actual challenges. In that special situation, we will continue to act very cautiously going forward. This was my presentation. Thank you for listening, and we are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please go ahead.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. First question comes from the line of Rob Vidi with Green Street. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, please. The broad questions, and I just appreciate your thoughts on them. So the first one is on tenant bankruptcies because of COVID-19 and how any news of the vaccine that we heard on Monday or even further lockdowns that Merkel's been talking about in winter has impacted your internal forecasts. So I know that you've got 7% of rent as insolvencies, and you're writing down 11% of your last year's rent in rent receivables, which is great disclosure. But where do you think tenant insolvencies will go in the future, and which segments of tenants are most likely going to go into insolvency? And who can you replace these with? That's my first question.
Yeah, very delicate question and very difficult. however, I give it a try. First of all, I should reiterate that even though we have seen some 7.3% in rent insolvencies, I can tell you that most of the shops are being continued. Yeah, that's our expectation so far. We have some losses and we'll have some vacancies, but we also have some ideas to replace them midterm. To replace anybody short term, let's say 21, is in many cases not that easy, and I think this is understandable. However, as I said before, one third of the tenants that went into bankruptcy by now, and they all went roughly, let's say, in the second quarter, and we are at the beginning or in the mid of the fourth quarter, so we expect many of them to come out. And the discussions so far show us that for a major part of the shops, they can and will continue. However, this will cost rent here or there also, to be honest, which is natural if you have insolvency cases. Going forward, this is very, very difficult to estimate. Of course, we have segments that are much harder impacted than others. So I would expect this to be around more the textile, maybe the shoe business, because I mean it's less appreciable for customers to do it in those times where we need to wear a mask and where there's a general uncertainty. There are other goods that are still continue to buy, but also here it depends. For example, we have seen over the summer and even in the third quarter that, for example, kids' clothing is running absolutely fine, while business clothing and evening clothing is of course very bad. So it really depends on the mix, what you have and how you adjust properly as a retailer to those challenges. So I don't want to say anything negative about the news, but these segments are and they do their best they can, but they are more affected. And of course, gastronomy with the second wave is also very tough, to be honest. On the other hand, at least we see in the Czech Republic and also in Germany that they are at this time is a good help for them, at least. So I'm not able to predict. But I would assume with, let's say now, the Christmas sales being also distorted to some extent, that there might be the one or the other case. And of course, we have not a guidance out for 2021 yet, and it will take some time, but we will do scenarios and we will take that to some extent into our planning. As I said, we are very cautious going forward. We're not negative, but we're very cautious to that extent. Yeah.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. So my second question is more about credit markets and the refinancing of the loan book. Can you just discuss how conversations are going with your banking partners and how has that changed over the course of this year, kind of from the pandemic nadir in March? Is it easier to get finance than a few months ago, or are bankers asking for more security, higher rates, or how is it going?
Now, this is Olaf Borkers speaking. I would like to answer that. Our talks with the banks are ongoing and unchanged. Fortunately, we have signed, as we reported, two loan agreements, one at the beginning of the pandemic, one at the end. That was the second one, and we are very happy that both banks stand to the term sheets, which we signed at end of 2019, respectively, slightly before the COVID-19 pandemic. So that is shows a very good relationship to these banks. We are currently in negotiations with two other banks for our second financing, that for the refinancing of a loan, which also matures mid of 2021. And also these talks are going in a friendly way. As already expected, some banks, which already in the past were skeptical about shopping centers, they are hesitating even more to finance shopping centers. That are those banks which we are not in contact with since many, many months. On the other hand, we have a strong reporting to all of our banks. That means we are very open in operative figures, which means frequency, turnover of tenants individually or very generally. And we give information about collection ratios sometimes on a monthly basis, to show banks that we can cope with the situation. We are interested to see what the behavior of banks will do in the next month, as we have some refinancings also in 2022, and we will start negotiating these loans in the first quarter of 2021.
Fantastic. Very clear. Thank you very much, guys.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to hand back to Mr. Wilhelm Werner for closing remarks. I'm sorry, they have two questions come in. The first question is from Thomas Martin, HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thomas Martin speaking, HSBC. Just a question on valuation. I know it's very, very difficult and tricky, this one. I mean, you saw a drop already in H1. What's your view on the full year and going forward? Did you have already discussions with your external appraisal regarding the next revaluation round? Maybe some insights you can share with us here.
Yeah, again, a very difficult question. It will really strongly depend on the discount rates and yields the valuators will apply and how they adjust them. And, of course, about depend on the contracted and expected rents. And there is a higher uncertainty around that that tells you probably with high uncertainty where the direction and magnitude could go. However, we have not started discussing them. We provide them with the data that we have so far, and the valuation is only due beginning of next year. It's not an easy task, for that purpose, we have done the valuation already in summer, not to wait 12 months to get new values. You probably see what the market did, what Uniwall did for its German portfolio in the third quarter. Yeah. This gives you also maybe a direction, even though they are all valued individually. It's difficult, but it's tough at the moment. And we'll have long discussions with our valuators, of course, with our Wirtschaftsprüfer, extent. And it's hard to come up with expected numbers. I mean, you see the huge gap between the gross asset value the capital market is implying with the implied yields and values, and the net asset values. I mean, this hopefully with the stock price going up, this will close, but it might come in also on the net asset value side as well. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. Maybe one follow-up regarding the negotiations you have, the running negotiation maybe you have with your tenants, with the retailers, and comparing this situation now with the let's say light lockdown in Germany and with the national lockdown we have seen in Q2, the negotiation you had with the tenants in Q2, is there something already arranged for the case of a second lockdown or maybe for a third lockdown, or is it a completely new situation now, because most hope that it will be just one lockdown and then we come back to a kind of normality? Or did you prepare yourself or tenants prepared for the next lockdown in terms of the rental negotiations?
Of course, we talked about the first lockdown, not expecting the second to come, or a soft one or whatever the intermediate ways from the politicians are to fight the disease. We were talking and are talking for the remainder of the cases, about the first half of this year. And we'll have to make up our mind and see how the tenants react, how the turnovers are, what comes out of this soft or hard lockdowns, and what the health programs, the state health programs, do to our tenants. For example, the Czech Republic is doing a terrific good job, to be honest, to save this whole, or save is the wrong word, but to stabilize this industry. They again do it with very rational support measures. So maybe, I hope. I mean, we have seen that now in Germany. I think it's a good measurement, this 75% cost contribution support for the mainly gastronomy and others. But we have to see what the health programs might be, if there are any, for the other tenants. It's way too early. Until mid of October, you've seen the numbers. Everything went fine. The trend went up. We are not that bad yet, but we can estimate that or expect that the impact on our tenants is not good at that moment. Yeah, end of October, frequencies were at roughly 70% of normal levels. Before they were at 80, but we assume that through the November that number will go down again. So I think there will be discussions. We'll again have to look at the impact and now the length, and it all depends on the next weeks. How, especially in our home market, the politicians react and whether we will get a full lockdown or an extended soft lockdown. So there is, there is no answer yet to that.
Okay.
But maybe, let's say for the first lockdown, what we have guessed and what we have put up in our scenario plannings, we were well within the ranges that we had, let's say, prepared in this second quarter, besides the potentially new effects. Yeah, so there's no bad surprise out of the first lockdown financially, and we have to see, we were even a bit better than we were guesstimating at that point in time, but we have to see what's coming out now of this November lockdowns.
Okay. And then maybe a general question regarding rent levels in your portfolio historically, or the pattern you have seen historically between tenants' footfall, tenants' sales, and the rents you charge at the end. Do you see there a clear correlation? And how does that eventually is reflected in the revaluation? How does external appraisal manage that? I mean, you give them numbers, they can see, okay, look, we had a recovery in footfall or in tenant sale recently. Now the next light lockdown, okay, rents temporarily maybe depressed. So is that a parameter which is going directly into the valuation and which will be reflected at the end in the discount rate, or maybe something on that would be helpful?
Yeah, and of course there's a relation of between turnover, what a tenant can make on a certain space, and rent he can pay. However, it's not as easy as it was, let's say, like 10, 20 years before when there was no online business. And those days it was rather very much straight, the percentage you could afford as a tenant and the room of negotiations. However, and we had elaborated in the last years around that also, a more and more bigger part of the turnover becomes invisible in a center, through the omni-channel. We have seen online retailers, or let's say stationary retailers, that opened up online stores and suddenly found out when they closed down an online, a stationary store, that the online sales in that region also goes down. So they would have to come up with a mixed calculation. What is the value of a shop for my online business, as the customer is more complex than saying I'm either online or offline, offline customer. So it had become, more difficult to determine the value of a given space. But still, turnover is a frequency which is still very important in that equation. How that comes out, we will have to see how are the long-term effects out of this corona crisis on stationary retail turnovers. And on the other hand, have to evaluate how good we are and become in the omni-channel world. Yeah, that's why we still report, of course, on work on the digital mall. Because if you're part of a downtown location and can deliver from there, you can use that space. Again, a value you need to apply to the rents you're willing and able to pay. So it has become more complex, but of course turnover is still a valid and very important input factor to rents.
Yeah, okay.
Besides market value, logistic value, and all the other points I just made, mentioned. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Many thanks. Yeah.
As a reminder, please press *1 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from the line of André Remke with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Starting with also a question on the lease contract. You mentioned some renewed contracts. What is here more concrete, the comparable lease level, i.e. in comparison to the previous terms? And you partly answered that already, but how have the contract terms changed? For example, what you already partly mentioned, has been there a higher share of turnover rents to be agreed, or how is the pressure from clients with respect to that? This is the first question, please.
I mean, it's a little difficult because I mentioned the specific rent contracts, and you can exactly know who that is, so I can't comment on that. But let me put them. We could agree with the two supermarkets on the level we had agreed in our planning last year before Corona. Yeah, so they stick to the terms. Of course, they are also from a segment which is not that affected, that much affected from the corona crisis. So we were quite happy on that end. In general, we have seen, and these were very long-term, some one is 15, one is 12-year contracts, so they are very long contracts. In general, what we have seen, even pre-corona, is that a five-year extension of a lease is more the normal, let's say, pattern that we had seen. And of course, we had seen little more turnover rents pre-corona, and maybe that's a fair expectation that turnover-based rents become a bigger proportion going forward. But we come from a level of 1% to 2% turnover rents, so I don't expect them to go to 10 or 20%, but we see that rising. However, it's interesting to see, I mean, if you share that risk a little more with the tenants, the turnover risk, the tenants are willing to give a bigger proportion of their turnover if turnovers are doing fine. Yeah, so that doesn't necessarily mean that you are worse off. It just means that a bigger proportion is more variable. So, I mean, the leasing market, as I said, is tough at the moment. We extend, in many cases, also contracts in exchange for lease concessions for a couple of months or 1 or 2 years. So this is an untypical pattern of extensions, but I think it's fair for both parties in that situation just to do it for a couple of months or a year or two. And see how the situation stabilizes, the pandemic situation, I mean, and then we all depend on that, and then agree on mid- and long-term leases afterwards. So this is not the general case, but this is also a case what we see on the leasing market.
Okay, thank you. The second question, could you remind us what is the percentage of all lease expiry is due next year and probably also in 2022, and which centers are here mainly involved?
Yeah, we have quite a bit proportion or had and have that is 30% for the 2 years coming up, and these were also some of the top end centers, I would say, in the portfolio. However, we are now amid this situation, and this all intermingles to a certain extent. So there will be also some effect coming from the pandemic. And that's why I just said it's probably good in those centers sometimes to just agree on a year or 2 year extension and then discuss when everything has calmed down. But we have, for the next 2 years, a rather bigger proportion of the releasings to come. However, we also make some good progresses, as I said. For A10 Center, we not even could, find a very good new supermarket, 12,000 square meter, replacing Real, which is a huge scheme. But we're also through with half of the normal extensions, and we're talking about roughly 80% of the 80 shops coming up for releasing. So it's also progressing, but it's a very intermingled picture at the moment.
Okay. Then a very last question on financing. You mentioned the 2022 refinancing. I think, according to the presentation, it's roughly 200 million. Which centers are involved here?
That is the Altmarkt Galerie in Dresden, with roughly 108 million. It is Allee Center Magdeburg, roughly 50 million euros, and it is City Point Kassel with roughly 55 million euros. Falling due in March for Dresden, June in for Magdeburg in June, and Kassel in September.
Okay, excellent. That's from my side. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
There are no further questions registered at this time. I hand back to Mr. Wilhelm Wellner for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen, or ladies and gentlemen, for dialing in. Stay healthy. Let's all hope that in all the countries the situation improves. We know that our business is sensitive to that effect and to corona pandemic, but we also have seen improved how quickly our business can recover. But of course, the in-between lockdowns are rather harmful for our tenants and therefore to a certain extent also to us. So let's hope that the general health situation improves. And again, stay healthy and hear you on the next call. Thank you very much.